hidden in plain sight. How many Bibles are there in the world? Well, they're probably pushing about 6.5 billion at the present time. What does it contain? It contains the Word of God. Let's come to Proverbs, book of Proverbs, please, 25, and let's understand something. We're going to see that the world doesn't know, though they could know, that the world has all the knowledge of everything that they need, probably right on their library shelf, or the way they have it today, right on their digital media device, okay? But here's what God has done. Verse 2, Proverbs 25. The glory of God is to conceal a thing, but the honor of the king is to search out the matter. Search out a matter, okay? Now, God conceals it in plain sight. And this is what the Allies before the Second World War didn't understand. Hitler produced the Messerschmitt 109 and put it up in plain sight at the Paris Air Show as a trainer plane. And they all thought, oh, what a wonderful thing. Well, God has done likewise. Now let's look at another scripture. Let's come to Mark 13. And as we're turning there, let's remember what Jesus said. Jesus said many things, but let's put it together so we have a foundation to look at it. He said, first of all, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All right? He also said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Now, when we come here to Mark 13, let's read verse 10. Now, this is talking about the end times and all the things that are going to take place at the end. And we're getting closer and closer and closer to a lot of these things. While at the same time, during our lifetime, it may be further off than we have expected. But nevertheless, even if it's further off in the relationship of our chronological age and things that we do, that doesn't mean that it's off schedule. It's right on schedule. Verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Want to know what the gospel is? Right here, you got it, the Bible. Anyone who has the Bible has it. Well, why can't they understand it? All right. Several things have to happen. Before they can understand it, they have to be willing to obey it. Let's come to Mark, the fourth chapter, since we're here in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 4, verse 10. Now, when they were alone, that is, after he told a parable, those who were around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, to you, that is, those who were with him, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are without, all things are done in a parable. Now, if you watch Fox News, you're seeing it live on the Bill O'Reilly Show. He talks about the Bible, then he talks about Easter. You know, no one has asked him, don't you know that Easter is pagan? Oh, well, that's okay. The Pope has blessed it. See? Might ask him, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ have to do with Easter bunnies and chicken eggs boiled, dyed, and tattooed? See? Nothing. But yet he claims to be an expert in it and is writing a book, The Killing of Jesus. All right. Now here's the key. That in seeing, they may not see. You tell someone about the Christian Passover and their eyes go cross and say, Passover? Are you Jewish? No. Okay. And like one woman said concerning Easter when she found out that the person talking to her did not keep Easter but kept the Passover and asked her the question concerning the Easter eggs and the paganism of Easter. Well, she said, that's why I don't go to that church. See, They see and not perceive. And in hearing they hear, but do not understand, lest they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And that is one scripture that Orthodox Christianity cannot answer, because they want to convert everybody in the world. God has his own time plan. And that's why you need the holy days, and that's why the last great day answers the question, what is God going to do? Because he blinded their minds. They blinded themselves because they didn't believe and wouldn't obey. God blinded them so that they wouldn't be converted and is saving them for the second resurrection, because God isn't going to lose anything, but he's only going to save it on his time plan. And Satan, the devil, inspire men to come along and say, oh, God, we'll improve on what you're doing. Oh, here's a good idea. You know, and you ask them about Christmas and Easter and all that sort of thing, and they always come down to this. Well, it's for the children. Exactly. Satan wants to get them early. Correct? Yes, and now let's talk about the disciples as we turn to Luke 24 for a minute. Now, they were with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he taught them. How many times did he say, we're going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, and given over to the Gentiles, and crucified, and spit upon, and mocked, and rejected? And they just went along as if never penetrated. So what has to happen? Okay. Not only do you have to believe, Luke 24, let's go here and let's see what has to happen. Because without the Word of God and without the Spirit of God and without belief, faith, and obedience, you will never understand the Word of God. Though you have it right in front of you, and it's in the language that you understand. All right? Now, this was quite a thing. We've never had an experience like this. Be like we're sitting right here, and all of a sudden, boom, right in the middle of the room, there's Jesus. See, because as a spirit being, you can walk through the door, you can walk through the wall. How did Jesus get out of the tomb? Just walk right out of it. The angels rolled back the stone to show he wasn't there, because he had already left. They didn't roll it back so Jesus could get out. Jesus was not behind the stone. Angels, are you there on time? Will you open the door and let me out? Roll away the stone? No. No. Okay. So when he appeared in the middle of the room, they were astonished. And he said, it's me. So in order to show that it was him, he said, do you have anything to eat? So they gave him some fish and honey. Now, I've never tried that as a combination, but I think I will. Okay. Okay. So let's pick it up here, verse 38. Then he said to them, why were you terrified? Why do doubts come up in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I. Touch me and see for yourselves, for a spirit, that is a demon spirit, does not have flesh and bones. Now notice he didn't say blood. He appeared as flesh and bones. He could also disappear as nothing. See? So he appeared as flesh and blood, so they could see that it was he. And after saying this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were still disbelieving and wondering for joy, he said to them, do you have anything here to eat? Then they gave him part of a broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb. And he took these and ate them in their presence. All right, the question becomes this. How do spirit beings eat? What do they eat? Remember, manna was called angels' food. Imagine for 40 years they had angel food cake. Okay? I don't know. But you have to go back to the beginning, see, and get a basic thing. God said he made us, male and female, after the image of God. See? So there are a whole lot of things we don't even know about ourselves that only God knows, correct? Yes, indeed. Now let's continue on here. So he took these and ate them in their presence. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all things which were written concerning me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Okay? Now remember, what did he say to them? "Why are your hearts still hardened?" Here is the key, verse 45. Here is the only way you're going to understand and discover what God wants you to know. And it is a spiritual thing. And it must come from God. And it must come from Christ. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Then we're told in Isaiah 28 how to understand. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, rightly divide the word of God, put it together. Now remember, if you profess belief, your belief is no more than a profession unless you obey. Now remember the four men that were carrying the paraplegic on a stretcher? And they were going to bring him to Jesus, and he got there, and the house was full and people overflowing outside. And I don't know what they said to one another, but they really worked at it. I don't know how far they had to carry him to get there, but they got there with him. And then they climbed up on the top of the roof, and they opened up the tile, and they let him down right in front of Jesus. Can you imagine sitting there, Jesus talking, and all of a sudden, tile go back, and all of a sudden, here comes down a stretcher, and there's a paraplegic on the stretcher. What did Jesus say? "Your faith has healed you." What did their faith do? It gave them the power to do. They had to walk there. They had to climb up there. They had to open up the roof. They had to let him down because they believed that Jesus would do it. All right? Same way with the scriptures. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, you want to know when God is dealing with you with the Word of God. Whenever you're reading along and all of a sudden there's that little light in your brain, boop, God is the one who's giving you the understanding. And it's a lifelong thing that we learn. Verse 46, and he said to them, "According as it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And in his name, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Then he said, "Now you stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high." Now let's come here to the book of Acts for just a minute. Acts, the first chapter. Now while we're turning there, we will see on the Passover night, we will see that Jesus said to the disciples that they must work and that their works would remain. Now let's look at another miracle that's contained in the Bible. Oh, by the way, there's a new Testament coming out. Did you hear about it yet? A new Testament. It has all the Gnostic Gospels in it. And I gave warning of that concerning the Jesus Seminar how many years ago? Now they've got the New Testament. I've got one in order, so I'm going to give you some sermons on it. Okay? Okay. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 6. They wanted to know, would he restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority." Now let's also understand something that the apostles didn't understand. We know more about the plan of God from the writings of the Bible and the apostles than the apostles themselves knew during their lifetimes. Think about that. And if we do, that gives us a lot of responsibility to respond to God, does it not? Yes, indeed. "But you yourself shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses Now, follow this along very carefully. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. Now, they did not get there physically, but with 6.5 billion Bibles, their writings got there to the ends of the earth. See, God is going to have it that no man is going to say, Lord, you didn't tell me. All right. Now, concerning the Passover, this is one of the first things that is attacked and eliminated by Orthodox Christianity. The first thing, the Jews keep it a day late because they don't believe Jesus. And even if they're Messianic Jews, they still follow the tradition, so they haven't crossed the threshold they really need to for the Passover. See? And I'll tell you why. Let's come here to Matthew 28. I've covered this before, but sometimes it's good to repeat some things so it sinks in. You know, that's why they have songs. Remember the songs that you like the best? They're the songs with the easy lyrics and the catchy tune. And finally, you get it drummed in your head and you go, doot, 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 you know. Same thing with the Word of God, see? The experience that people in the church have had when Jews find out that as a Christian, they keep the Passover on the 14th, and yet the Jews keep it on the 15th. Now, that's all explained in the Christian Passover book. See, here at the end of the age, we've got to go through all the piles of false doctrine that have been overlaid on the Bible and teachings, and we've got to know what is right, what is wrong, why is it wrong, why is what is right, right, etc. Okay? The children of Israel understood that if they were not in the geographical area of Israel, they could not keep a 14th Passover. Now, the 10 tribes were sent off into captivity. The Jews were sent off into captivity, brought and sent off into captivity again. There are only a few Jews in what is called the Holy Land, which I refer to as Palestine, because it is anything but holy today. Okay? Even one of the rabbis wrote that when a temple is built, they may do something on the 14th, but until that time, they're going to keep with the 15th. Another rabbi wrote, a Karaite, saying, we do nothing on the 14th because we follow in the footsteps of our fathers and their sins. And this is why we are exiled. And that is in the Passover book. Okay? So, question. Why can the church keep a 14th Passover and the Jews cannot? Number one, the Jews do not believe in Jesus Christ in the main. There are some Messianic Jews, but they've never got out of the mess of their traditions. Okay? I only know one Jew who has. So therefore, unless you have the teachings of Jesus Christ concerning the Passover, you don't know that you can keep a 14th Passover. Judaism to this day will say, that's for the Jews only. Orthodox Christianity will say, well, we celebrate the resurrection. So let's read it here. Matthew 28. Now, notice verse 17, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus appointed for them to meet them. Matthew 28, verse 16. Okay? And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I wonder who they were. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So no man can take any of that authority to himself to proclaim something that is a religious practice, but God or Jesus did not tell us to do. That simple. No one has any authority to do it. The Pope's authority is null and void. He sits there as the replacement of Christ, the vicar of Christ. Yes, the new one, Francis, we have now is more humble than the other ones, but that doesn't change anything that they do, all right? Therefore, based on his authority, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. For how long? And lo, I'm with you always, even to the completion of the age. Amen. Now, when did Jesus keep the Passover? On the night of the 14th. We find in the book of John that some of the Jews kept it on the next day. And we find that in order to justify that, as you can read in the Passover book, many, many, many excuses, but none of them provable to be true. They sound blessedly true, but they are not. Now, let's understand something concerning the Passover. Now, we covered part of this before, but let's come to Mark 14. Okay? Mark 14. And then we will see what it means, the body and the blood of Christ. Okay? Mark 14. Now, let's ask a question. Where did this take place here in Mark 14? In Jerusalem. Do you suppose that there were any Catholics there at that time? No. Any Protestants there at that time? No. Any Orthodox there at that time? Do you suppose that anyone could keep any other days than what were scheduled in Leviticus 23? No. Can you imagine what would have happened if someone tried to erect a Christmas tree on top of a house in Jerusalem during those days and have an Easter egg roll on the lawn in those days and say, we're doing this to God? Could never have happened. As you find in the Passover books, there were two Passovers. One, the domestic Passover, based upon Exodus 12. We've already covered that. Number two, the exiled Passover for those who took a temple-sacrificed lamb. Now, we will see that they were nowhere near the temple when this occurred. And we will see that nothing was said about communion, the Eucharist, or any of that, and the false ceremony that the Catholics have on Maundy Thursday, celebrating the first Eucharist, is an absolute farce and lie of the nth degree. Let's read what happened. Verse 12. And on the first day of the unleavened, now this is just before the beginning of, right at the beginning of the Passover day, and how are days calculated in the Bible? From sunset to sunset, correct? Okay. When were they to kill the Passover lamb according to the instruction in Exodus 12? Between sunset and dark, correct? Okay. Now, everyone knew this. And the domestic Passover was the one that was in the majority use at this time. They kept it in a house. Now, you will notice as we read this, Jesus did not say, get a lamb, go to the temple, have it sacrificed, and carry it over here to this place where we can keep the Passover. Well, that couldn't happen till the next day. So this is on the 14th. This also tells us that the Passover day is an unleavened bread day. And why should it not be an unleavened bread day? Okay? Now notice, when they were killing the Passover lamb, so what were they looking at? Here they are coming toward Jerusalem. Now, the Mount of Olives sits this way, and you come down into the Kidron Valley, cross a bridge, go up by the temple, and go around the temple and go into Jerusalem, okay? So they were coming from Bethany and Bethpharage, and those were over here on the side of the Mount of Olives. And by the way, that's where most of the priests lived too, okay? Most of the priests kept the 14th Passover, was the Pharisees who kept the 15th Passover, okay? Pharisees always caused problems, didn't they? Okay. Now, so Jesus told them nothing about the Passover. So here they are going to Jerusalem, and the disciples are wondering, as they look up and see those at the different houses killing the Passover lamb for the domestic Passover that they were to keep. Because up here on the Mount of Olives, they could have gone right down to the temple to get a lamb. But Jesus didn't tell them to do that. And those weren't sacrificed till the next day. So that's what they were seeing. Now the disciples were wondering, where are we going to keep the Passover? What's it going to be? Well, the Lord had it all worked out, but he didn't tell them. His disciples said to them, where do you desire that we go and prepare so that you may eat the Passover? Not the Lord's Supper, not a pre-Passover Passover. Okay? And he sent two of his disciples and said, go into the city and you shall meet a man carrying a pitcher of water, follow him. And to whatever house he shall enter. Notice, house. What did Jesus observe? A domestic Passover. Say to the master of the house that the teacher says, where's the guest chamber that I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished and ready, there prepare for us. And his disciples went, and when they came into the city, notice they didn't go to the temple. They came into the city. They found it exactly as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. What did Jesus eat? The Passover. All right. Now let's see what happened here. Let's follow right along in the context. Okay. Verse 18, he says, someone's going to betray me. They all asked, was it them? Then he told them it was the one who was dipping in the dish with him. Verse 21, that he is going to be betrayed as it was written of him. Now, verse 22, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. All right. Let's come to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Let's see what else he said about it. Okay. Luke 22. And then we will look at the instructions that the Apostle Paul received from the Lord. Now, let's put it this way. What was the Apostle Paul's commission? To go to the Gentiles, correct? Yes. Okay. So we'll see what he says right after we're done here in Luke 22. All right. Now let's pick it up here in verse 15. And he said to them, with earnest desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat of it again until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink at all of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. Now notice verse 19. I want you to remember what we read in Matthew 28. What did he say? Teaching them to do all things that I have commanded you. All right? Let's look at what he commanded them. Verse 19. And he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me. Now, who were they to teach this to? To all nations. Starts with the Jews, because God said to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. In like manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. All right? Now, since Jesus' words will never pass away, what do you suppose that he taught the Apostle Paul concerning the Passover? Did he teach anything different? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Now, there were some problems and difficulties that they had concerning the Passover, just like today. Now, why? Well, you will learn this. The Passover is the new covenant pledge. God to us and us to God. That's why Jesus died on the Passover day. Okay? Now then, no other way or ceremony will God accept. Period. Now we'll see that in just a bit here. Let's see what he says beginning in verse 23. Now then, remember, the church at Corinth was mainly Gentile. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord, he was taught for 3 years in Arabia, in visions and dreams and direct teaching by Jesus, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? In the night. That's why in the Passover book, in the day Jesus the Christ died, you look at the chart of that Passover day, and you look at the timing of everything, and you look when he was arrested. It was about midnight. You go back to the Passover of Israel, what happened at midnight? If they took care of the Passover properly, and if they put the blood on the side post and the top lintel, their firstborn were spared, correct? Yes. But all the firstborn of the Egyptians, man and beast, were killed, correct? Yes. All right. The Passover night in which Jesus was betrayed and arrested at midnight, God did not pass over Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn. Let's go forward. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you. Present tense, passive. Very interesting way that he wrote it, because it's continually applied. This do in the remembrance of me. Now, what was Paul to teach? Everything that Jesus commanded, correct? Paul was not there for the last Passover, was he? No. So Jesus taught him directly. In like manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Now, that's important to understand. This do. Now, the next phrase, you're going to have to read in the Passover book to understand that there is a qualifier in the Greek that is not translatable, which limits as often as to once a year, but yearly until he comes, because you only take it once a year, okay? So you'll have to read that there. In the remembrance of me. Now let's come over here to chapter 10. Come over here to chapter 10, and let's pick it up here in verse 18, just across the page. Consider Israel according to the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What then am I saying? That an idol is anything, because you could hardly get any meat to eat unless it was sacrificed to some kind of pagan idol. But the idol itself, it can't hear, it can't see, it can't talk, it can't walk, it can't do anything. It's like Dagon that fell down before the Ark of God. Okay? Notice verse 20. But that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons. Now then, if you have not read the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, you get it and you read it. And lo and behold, you're going to find out that there were many counterfeits way ahead of time that Satan had already put out there in the different religions. Of the round disc with a cross in it, that comes from Egypt, depicting the sun. What did Jesus do with the bread? Did he say, be careful, don't break it? No, he broke it. Why then do they use a round disc? that they don't break. Well, that goes clear back to Egypt. Oh, but it's been blessed by the church. Really? Has it been blessed by God? No. Here's what Paul says. But that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not wish you to have fellowship with demons. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't mix the way of the world and religions of the world with the truth of God. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Now, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So this tells us we need to do it exactly the way that Jesus taught. All right? So we'll go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back.